Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap Up. We got 60 minutes or more locked and loaded in this kitchen. You already know what time it is. You already know what we about to get into. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen Thomas is alive. Sports City, welcome to the wrap up. City. I mean, I could rock to that all day long. The caller number is 917-889-9592. We got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. I could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And I got some, I can't even lie. Like, some of the topics that we have today, I really can't wait to discuss. And I feel a certain way about them. But before I go any further, I got my co-host, my big brother, my comrade, and the guy I go to war with in the foxhole. We take care of business. Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Summer's here.
Who are you telling? Look, okay, I'm going to keep it real with you people here in Sports City. I was at work today and, talking to one of my coworkers because they know I love, the colder weather, even though I don't really like January, February cold, but I like November, December cold. And she's a fan of the summer. So the summer started to end. I said, yes, bring on the fall. So she started telling everybody around the company. He was like, aha, aha. And he was wondering what she was laughing at. And he was like, what you laughing at? She was like, well, Tyrone's cold season is over. So now the warm is coming out. So welcome to the spring. And winter's almost over. So I'm like, she is not lying. It was like 55, 60 degrees out here yesterday. The same weather was out here on Saturday. It was 62 degrees out here. I've never seen it this warm in February in this area. And generally, you know about how cold it gets out here. You know how cold it gets out here in February. It's balmy, like to the point where I literally went outside Saturday. Well, I didn't do it today, but I went out Saturday, polo shirt, short sleeve polo shirt. I was outside. Like it was really summertime in February. I said I will never do this. I know I won't ever do this again, but had to take advantage of it. But what's the weather out there in Michigan? Is it warm like that too out there?
No, it's cold out here, but pitchers and catchers reported. So as far as I'm concerned, it's summer.
Okay. Now I see. Okay. Different area. It's probably 30 out there too. It can't be just warm here and blistering out there. They got to be getting some of this stuff. Okay. First things first, since I'm already talking to my brother, co-host out there in Michigan, I'm going to pitch it right to him in Michigan. I'm not going to lie. Now, I know I've seen plenty of people go off on scoring tangents and going off on dudes. And you've seen Carmelo go off for 63. You've seen LeBron go off for 61. You've seen Kobe go off for 81. Michael Jordan go off for 69. D. Will go off for 57. Kyrie go off for 57. I mean, the list goes on and on of people having these scoring games, so on and so forth. But I've never seen a person that, scored in a bunch and also contributed in another way in a big manner in the game. Anthony DeBrow Davis, you already know him, the all-star that just signed a big deal with New Orleans, fresh out of Kentucky 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, had his career night, 59-point effort and 20 rebounds. Now, of course, you've seen people, just like I said, all of the guys that I mentioned go off on scoring tendencies, but really not being able to do everything else because they got the hot hand. You always look at somebody coming out and doing their thing and just keep feeding them the ball. Don't worry about nothing else. Everybody will play lockdown defense. Keep feeding them the ball. He'll do his thing. Anthony Davis not only scored, he got to the boards, but this is where it actually fascinates me. He did this not only against the Pistons, but against another all-star big man in Andre Drummond. Now, I know Andre Drummond ain't the best of defenders. I know he plays good defense. He gets off the floor. But this is the one thing that gets to me. He's a rebounder. He stays on the boards. He lives and eats off of that glass. For Anthony to at least get 20 boards and still be able to score on a guy that's protecting the goal, they have not – because I'm a part of this. I and everybody else have not seen a game like this since 73, they say Bob McAdoo threw up a 50-20 game. That was the last time that something like this has happened. Nobody has put up numbers in two different efforts of the game like Anthony Davis has. So I wanted to introduce it to the kitchen. I'm not going to lie. I am thrilled at the way that he came out and played this ball. Mind you, he's not playing with his full cast of players. Tyreek is not there. Tyreek Evans isn't there. Even though Drew Holiday had a decent game also, they don't have the full cast to get it done, and they won. And they won. That's what really counts to me is when people put up these numbers, they have to win at the end of the day. So, Chandler, I know that you're right there in Michigan. You may not be the biggest Brown fan or New Orleans Pelicans fan, but I know you do, you know, keep a close eye on what the Pistons are doing. And I do want to talk about the Pistons right after this. I'm going to go right to it with the deal being voided. I can't wait to talk about that. But your thoughts on the Pistons losing a close game and Anthony Davis going all out for the Pelicans?
Well, I'm a big Anthony Davis fan. I hate Alvin Gentry.
Right.
And it's just what
right.
you said. They lost a close game. You had somebody do 59 and 20-something, and it was still a close game because your team doesn't play defense. My issue with the Pelicans is the fact that they've stopped playing defense because of the coach that they have. You mentioned Bob McAdoo, somebody who does not get near enough talk about how great he was as a scorer in this league. So always good to hear Big Mac's name in there, okay? But, he didn't do – listen, this is Anthony Davis. This is – I mean, yes, the point total is a little large, but this is what he can do. I'm not surprised that he put up something like that. I'm not surprised at that at all. I'm really not. He's that talented. Now, he didn't really do it against Andre Drummond. If you look at a lot, most of his shots came from outside the paint. Most of his shots came from outside the paint or driving from the paint where somebody else was guarding him. Not to say, you know, that Drummond's some great defender because, you know, Drummond's probably average as a defender, maybe above average. But I'm not surprised that Anthony Davis put up a game like that. I think Anthony Davis could do a triple-double where he'd have 50, 20, and 10. You know, he could do a 50, 20, and 10 game. He's that talented. And I mean, and the 10 could either be assists or blocks. Take your pick. But he's talented enough to have a triple-double like that. So I'm not shocked that it happened. I'm glad it happened for him, but it just goes to show what a terrible team he's on. Is that he put up 59 and 20, and they still really almost, you know, they still could have lost that game. That should have been a blowout. That should have been a blowout. You know, but that speaks to just the level of how terrible the rest of that team is, with or without Tyreek Evans.
Let me cut you off a little bit. And I finally looked at the full box score of this situation. Chandler, you are completely correct. This is disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, he put up 59, right? Drew Holiday, the former Bruin and you know, Russell Westbrook guy, had a 20.7 rebound, 9 assists day. Listen to the rest of the scoring totals. You ready? I hope you're ready. Dante Cunningham, 4 points in 24 minutes. Omer Sheik, 5 points in 7 minutes of play. Norris Cole, 5 points in 21 minutes of play. Deshaun Jones, 5 points in 21 minutes of play. Even one of my guys, even though I like him a lot, but there's a lot of trade rumors around him, so on and so forth. Ryan Anderson, 6 points, 25 minutes of play, 1 for 12 from the field. He only hit one bucket, and I guarantee that was probably a three ball. And Ajinka, he put up 4 points as well in 10 minutes of play. And you had Tony Douglas, who put up 3 points in 23 minutes of play. Talk about nobody coming to help this dude on a monster night. Thank God. Like, look, I hate to see this happen when people put up monster nights and they end up losing. But thank God the Pelicans won this game away from home, where they're actually with this win. They're 7-21 away from New Orleans. 7-21. But I'm happy. And not to take too much away from, you know, the Pistons, Drummond did have a 21-14 night. That's nothing to poo-poo at. That's nothing to poo-poo at. I mean, a 9-for-13 from the field, and Reggie Jackson, I swear, I'm still pissed that Presti ended up letting you go. If anybody should have won, it should have been Deion Waiters. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. I'll probably be here for another hour talking about him. Reggie went off for 34 points, giving those point guards everything that they can handle. But the Pistons still ended up losing this game. But I finally looked at the final box score, because all I was hearing more or less was the 59-20. I was like, whoa, like this dude went out of his mind in Detroit. But to see that nobody else came and they more or less probably played standstill basketball watching Anthony do his work in 43 minutes of play, stunning. They have not seen that type of basketball be played since 72-73 with Bob McAdoo.
Yeah, and that was probably when he was with the Buffalo Braves. And that's what I'm saying, when we start talking about this team, and this is why I've been on it since the day they hired Alvin Gentry. I said, you should be fired, since the day they hired him. This is why. First of all, how in the hell is Tony Douglas still in the league, first of all? I need to know that. How is Tony Douglas still in the league? Okay? I thought Tony Douglas was somewhere spending all that money he stole. All right? You telling me Tony Douglas is still in the league?
He was a New York Knicks. Yes. He was a Knicks.
I know exactly who Tony Douglas is, okay? Which is, again, why I said, why is he still in the league? Then Omar Asik, for some reason, he's got basketball fans fooled. You know, he got people bamboozled. His head, all I heard, they got Asik, and as soon as Omar Asik, you know, healthy and gets back, that's going to help them defensively and blah, 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 blah. Omar Asik's a bum. He's a bum, okay? I told you the same thing about Ryan Anderson. Ryan Anderson had one good season and convinced people that he was worth some money when he's not.
He can shoot.
Yes, he can shoot.
Whoa. He can shoot that ball, though.
Really?
He can shoot that ball.
Really? 1 for 12.
I mean, 1 for 12. I'm shocked. 1 for 12. You know, you're right. 1 for 12. I'm stunned. 1 for 12, that's stunning.
1 for 12.
One night.
So don't tell me he can shoot. Don't tell me he can shoot.
Okay.
Don't tell me that he can shoot. He's a 13-point-a-game career guy. I don't
right.
want to. That's a seventh man. That's a sixth, seventh man at best. He's not a starter. If you're a starter, you got to average 15 plus. Don't give me 13. You got to give me 15 to 17 plus a night. He's a good player.
He's a good player. He sits around the perimeter. You live by the three, you die by the three. I respect that term or the phrase, if you will. And he probably lived by the three. I really want to look more in depth on the shots that he did take. But being 1 for 12, nobody came to play, and they still pulled this out. I mean, they literally jumped on his back. This is really an effort where they really jumped on one guy and rode him to success. Really?
Yeah.
What's
this going to do to his career? This is shortening his career, Ty. It's shortening this young man's career. Because every night, if that's the only way they win, he has to go out and put up 40-plus every night, which means he's logging how many minutes a night? 40-plus, right?
Right, 43.
We already know that his frame is not built for that, because – every year he's been in the league, he's been injured. That's only going to get worse as time goes on. They put nobody around him, and they want him to carry that franchise. It's criminal, really. It's criminal. What
okay,
they've done down there, Tony Douglas? Tony Douglas?
Look, here goes somebody that can side with you. We have somebody in the kitchen today. We have Aaron Simmons in the kitchen, which he is actually a Rocket fan, so he knows about Tony Douglas as well. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, it's good to be back in the building, man. It's good to be back in the building.
Okay. Your thoughts on the efforts or the monster game from Anthony Davis, I might as well say 60, but I won't. I won't push the envelope. I wanted to say 60-20 so bad to start the show off. But 59-20, hey, just cut the point. 59-20. Your thoughts on, you know, scoring the ball, doing what was necessary, and attacking the boards, going up against an all-star big and Andre Drummond. And not to say that this was a head-to-head situation, but knowing that Anthony was doing his thing, all over the floor. He only shot 2 threes, 24 from 34 from the field. Excellent game, 9 for 10 from the free throw line. He brought his A game.
You know, man, it's unfortunate, in my honest opinion. Again, I popped on and Chandler was, you know, pretty much saying exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's a damn shame that, you know, AD goes for that many, you know, many points and has that monster of the game. And he seriously is carrying a squad on his back. You know, I mean, I don't want to say it comes as a shock because, you know, we've all sat here and watched, you know, basketball long enough. We recognize and we see talent and everything like that. But, I mean, it's bananas, you know, from a box score standpoint, you know, to watch this man do what he did, it's spectacular, you know. But, again, I'm not going to go on and say, you know, the coach should have been fired when he was hired because I'm going to say this. If you're going to, you know, expect me to cook the meal, you might as well let me shop for the groceries, and he's getting leftover groceries, if you will. I don't think Alvin Gentry, you know, had any type of decision-making in the piece that he was handed. You know, he's just, you know, giving the keys to a busted car and was like, yo, drive this until the wheels fall off. So I'm a whole judgment on, you know, firing the coach, you know, maybe, you know, longer than Chandler was. But, again, you got a great piece to board around and Anthony Davis, and hopefully, you know, this doesn't cut off years on this young man's career. But what a hell of a game by Anthony Davis. You know, I'm glad
let's look at it like this. This was an 8-seed playoff team last year.
Anthony Davis
this
did that by himself.
Playoff team last year.
So he did that by himself.
Tyreek was baller last year. Ryan Anderson was baller last year.
But, I mean,
all of these guys declined. All of them declined.
Check this out, though. Back to my original quote. That's my original point. You know what I'm saying? You can't really fire the coach when he didn't shop for the grocery. You know, Ryan Anderson and Tyreek Evans, whether they were balling or not, that's up for debate. They did that under Monty Williams last year. You know what I'm saying? And Monty Williams was able to tap into something and get Ryan Anderson the ball and get Tyreek Evans to not be hurt and set the ball and this, that, and the third. You know, Gentry, this is for sure. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, we all hopped on, I don't say we all, but I was very, very shocked when David Black got let go because, again, this was his first year. I mean, last year was his first year, and he managed to get these down to the NBA Finals. Halfway into season two, he's sitting at home watching TV while Tyronn Lue, you know, taking his team and running around with it, smacking OKC around, but that's another conversation for another day. But Alvin Gentry didn't get a chance to, you know, go out and, you know, shop for his groceries. So, again, I'm not going to be really, you know, too hard on Alvin Gentry in year one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was just handed the season, like, yo, go coach the squad. You got arguably the best, you know, five in the game right now. Go win us some games.
Okay, I'm going to say this to you, right? I'm going to say this right here. Luckily, they won the game, right?
Right.
He encouraged Anthony Davis before the season started to shoot more three-pointers. Anthony Davis only shot 2 threes last night.
Right.
Everything else he did was underneath the perimeter. And basically going in there and doing what was necessary to get the job done. Do you think if Anthony would be sitting around the perimeter, like the rest of these guys, like a guy that Chandler's picking on, even though I like him, but I do respect where he's coming from, for him having a 1-for-12 night to go out there and be launching three, that they would have had this type of game from Anthony Davis? Do you think he would have been around the rim getting 20 rebounds? This is the culture that he was trying to push to Anthony. They started out of the gate with 0-23 in New Orleans. Something like that, it was bad. Like, they started out bad in the start of the season. Like they
right.
just started getting their feet underneath them. They just started, and this was the eighth seed in the Western Conference. How do you go from, 45-37 to being severely under 500 right now? Severely.
Again, underperforming, coaching change, again. I mean, there are several different reasons why
I'm not the one that's saying fire him. I'm not the one that's saying that. But if you're saying coaching change, you're actually adding to the discussion here. It's the coaching situation.
How am I adding to the discussion when we have Cheryl talking about they need to get rid of the coach and should have been fired years ago, and I'm saying, hold on a second, no, they probably should have fired the coach. He just got a bad start. And he's not just funny. We fired freaking Mattel. Now he's not even fired.
The reason I say Alvin Gentry should be fired is real simple. It's because this team doesn't play defense anymore. And I knew Alvin Gentry would not have this team playing defense. This same roster last season, the reason they made the AC was because they were very tough defensively. Yes, everybody wants all their teams to go out there and check a few corners and look all pretty. This roster is not built like that. This roster is built to hunker down, keep the game close, and win it late by going to Anthony Davis. That's what this roster is built for. If you look at this roster, this is not a team that's going to outgun you every night. They're not going to do it. I'm sorry. They're just not. They have too many guys who are either hurt or inconsistent. And good God, they got Tony Douglas on the team. Okay, yeah, I'm still stuck on the Tony Douglas thing. Why is he still in the league? But anyway, this is a team that should be playing defense, right? Instead, you brought in a coach who was going to have them shooting, and not playing defense, which is why Ryan Anderson is having a subpar year, which is why Tariq Evans is having a subpar year, which is why across the board they're having subpar years. This team made its identity on defense. And much the way the Chicago Bulls are now struggling with Fred Hoiberg, because he walked in there and said, okay, don't worry about defense. We're going to score now. That's not how they play. That's not what gets their motors running. That's not what gets them engaged in a game, is running up and down shooting. This is a defensive team. These are guys who, even though some of them aren't very good at it, they like to play defense. And they're playing for a coach who says, the hell with defense, just score. That's
so,
why I said he should have been fired. He's the wrong coach for this team.
So,
he's the wrong coach.
Back to my original statement. I mean, he does not have his guys to run his system in uniform. So,
but they're not
going to
get him, serious. You see what they gave Anthony Davis money-wise? When they gave him that contract. Remember what I said when they gave him that contract?
Bring Chuck on that deal.
Remember what we talked about? What did we say?
Yeah.
That means they're never going to put anybody around him. They're never going to put anybody around him when they gave him that money. This was all designed, honest to God, for this. This is how they're setting this team up. It's going to be Anthony Davis and 11 guys, okay? 11 guys. It's kind of like the Knicks, if you think about it. Up until this year, who did they have? Carmelo Anthony and 11 other guys. What do you got in New Orleans? You got Anthony Davis and 11 other guys. You got a couple of names where people can point to and say, oh, well, he's pretty good. But when you really look at it, it's Anthony Davis and nobody else. So Alvin Gentry is not going to get any more guys. He's not going to get any better guys. This is what he's going to be working with.
Okay, well, We'll see if he can actually get these guys to 500. Look, as it looks right now, they are 11 games under 500, 7-21 on the road, 15-12 at home. So that's one. I definitely had to get that out of the way. The second situation is what Sabres actually brought to the kitchen. Can't even lie about it. The Cleveland Cavaliers went into Oklahoma City and dismantled the Thunder, and winning by a 20-plus point effort without Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving came in the first quarter and was fighting flu symptoms. And to be brutally honest, I think Tyronn Lue's plan was to attack the 3 and 4 position. That's right. They went after Serge Ibaka and Kevin Durant. And the best thing that they were doing, they were screening right there. They were screening wherever Durant was, making Durant either pick up Love or deal with LeBron in a situation where LeBron had the vantage point and didn't want Durant to get into foul trouble. I literally seen this team give up. Now, my strongest question that I have for the team that I love and respect is a question that Chandler actually threw at me a while ago, and I kind of like shunned it and pushed it away, didn't really want to deal with it, but now... Sports City, I sit at the edge of my seat and ask myself this question. And Sam Presti and Billy Donovan, and before Billy Donovan, Scotty Brooks as well, where the heck is the production at the two-guard position? Now, I know. I get it. They have Andre Roberson around for defensive purposes, and his job is clear-cut. You're not going to get the strongest scoring effort out of him. He's trying to make his way back after an injury before the game that they had up against Golden State before the Super Bowl weekend, so on and so forth. So now they have Deion Waiters in this position, where Deion Waiters was the two-guard off of the bench, a guy that actually came from this Cleveland team. You would think that he would actually come into this game with a chip on his shoulder trying to go out there and do some work. He didn't score a point till garbage time. The past two games, he was 0-for from the field for the past 7 quarters. He cannot score the ball at all. And it was, you know, there was a clip that I had put up showing him travel in open court, like literally by himself, and LeBron was like coming towards him, but he basically had to lay up or dunk, whatever he wanted to do, and just travel the ball. I don't know if it's a mental aspect of the game or what, but I wonder when his turnaround is going to come around, because this is something that Chandler said. Chandler actually threw it out. I call him down for a reason. But Deion Waiters actually fit this the mold of this team. Now, I was looking at it as Deion being the guy to, you know, hold firm at the two-guard position while Andre tried to get back. Now, I thought I'd never be able to say this, to say that I wanted the Andre Roberson back so bad it's not even funny. Or hopefully ran before he gets it, so they can hurry up and put a confident shooter in the game. But I want to see how you guys felt about the matchup. Kevin Love going off, having an extraordinary scoring night. LeBron doing his work as well. And the rest of the team actually just following suit. And J.R. Smith, and I'm sorry, Chandler, I have to say it, J.R. Smith had a decent game as well yesterday up against Oklahoma City. Actually, Sirius, I'll let you start this one up first. We lost Sirius. Okay, Chandler, I'll let you have at it. Your thoughts on the game yesterday with Oklahoma City losing by more than 20 at home.
Well, I mean, listen, J.L. Smith had a decent game. When was the last time you said that? We're 3 quarters away through the season, so he had one good game. I'm not impressed. Talk to me when he shows up in the playoffs once. I don't really care what the Cavaliers do in the regular season, to be quite honest with you, because none of it matters. What they do in the regular season really doesn't matter. What Kevin Love does in regular season doesn't matter. They are judged on what they do in the playoffs. Kevin Love is going to be judged on whether he can be healthy and show up during the playoffs. Oklahoma City has a problem. Oklahoma City has a problem. And when they made the trade for Deion Waiters, and I kept jumping up and down saying, why in the hell would you want Deion Waiters? And everybody kept telling me, I don't know what I'm talking about. You got to understand. He goes, no. You guys have no two guard. Until you get a two guard, Oklahoma City's going nowhere. You have no two guard. You have Westbrook, who's playing the point and should be at the two. So either you have no two guard or you have no point guard. Pick one. You don't have a guy to run that offense and get Westbrook and Durant with the ball in their sweet spots. And I don't know what Oklahoma City is going to do because I don't see any help out there for them. I don't see it unless somebody gets – unless a Joe Johnson gets bought out by the Nets. I think Oklahoma City is in trouble. I don't think they get out of the first round of the playoffs because they've been exposed. They've been exposed that whoever is on the court at that other guard position is trash. It's trash. You know, what the Cavaliers are doing, like I said, I'm not really impressed. For whatever reason, LeBron has his teams have an edge over Kevin Durant's teams for whatever reason. It happens like that sometimes. So I didn't expect Oklahoma City to win. Kevin Love showed up, and everybody's making a big deal out of it. Okay, with 50 games into the season, and Kevin Love finally had an all-around game that fits the contract they gave him. Talk to me in a week if he does it again. So I don't get caught up in one game because I look at the whole resume. The whole resume says to me that Kevin Love has games like this every so often, but for the most part, he's invisible. That's what his resume says. His resume says that. So I'm not impressed that he did it once. This is something he should have been doing all season. Where was this the other 45, 50 games? Where was it? It's everybody else's fault but his. It's always somebody else's fault. But no, I think that what is going on with this? I think that I'm doing a training session, I'm telling you. I think Oklahoma City's in trouble, man. I really do. They have to find somebody that is a consistent shooter. Now, you had Novak go to Milwaukee of all places. I think that's guy maybe they should have gave a little bit more rotation time to. Why they didn't, I don't know. But you know what? The guy can hit an open shot.
Right.
You know, and he does give you length, if nothing else. And he's a willing defender. He's not a good defender, mind you, but he's a willing defender. You know what I'm saying? So he's willing to try to play defense, even though he sucks at it. He does try. I don't understand what Oklahoma City's doing. I think that they're trying to hedge their bets and basically do as little as possible, and if they can make a run with this group, fine. But I truly think that this is the last run for this group. I really do. I don't think this group comes back next season. So they're hoping this group goes as far as possible. But if I would have Thunder, I would have traded Deion Waiters at the trade deadline. They could have got something for him. I'd have moved Deion Waiters personally. I would have moved him. Hell, at this point, you've talked to the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to buy out Tim Hardaway Jr. He can't be worse than what you got now.
Right. And looking at the situation, he hit one field goal in the game, and this was in the fourth quarter in garbage time when the game was completely over. He didn't score a field goal in the Pacer game. Give me a two-guard that plays lockup defense for the Pacers. Like, honest. Like. I mean, you're going to say Paul George, and Paul George is playing the three, and they're actually pushing Paul George to the four position. He didn't even have to worry about Paul George, and Paul George isn't even a great defender. Like, he's struggling to get out of his own way being Deion Waiters, whether it's him in the lane trying to make a layup or a dunk. Like, he's struggling all over the field. Now, getting Andre Roberson back, he's going to be the guy that's going to sit offensively. He's going to be the guy that sits in the corner, waiting to spot up and seeing what's happening with either Kevin Durant or Russ. But to be honest, by the time he gets back, he's going to be rusty. He's not going to be in that game shape that he was in before he got injured. Because before he got injured, Andre Roberson was actually playing decent ball. He was actually playing decent ball. But for them to lose this questionably without Kyrie Irving, with Amon Shepherd out, you also had Mo Williams out. I mean, you had, you know, Dellavedova come in the game, get under Russell's skin, even though he didn't do anything to Russell, but I think he more or less was trying to, you know, fight Russell. He grabbed Russell's jersey, pushed him on the floor, and ended up getting a foul on Russ for that. Richard Jefferson actually had a decent day off the bench coming in, sparking up a couple of threes as well. But this is the first time that I've ever seen when the lead got big on them that I see it really looked like Kevin Durant quit or gave up or like he had it because they were focusing on him. They had that screen and switch situation where he either had to deal with LeBron and LeBron have a step on him or Kevin Love just manhandle him. And Kevin Love really was going at Kevin Durant, putting that pressure on him, either making him pick up a foul or making Serge pick up a foul. I give Kevin Love a lot of credit in this matchup, but I do agree with you, Chandler. Where his consistency has to show up for the remainder of the season because of the money that they are throwing at Kevin Love. But this was a monster game for the Cavaliers, but they were definitely prepared for this game where the Thunder more or less were trying to be comfortable in their own beds. Now they start up a road streak, a road game streak, if you will, and seeing how they can survive on the road. Hopefully they can hold it together, but you know they're going to let up some games on the road as well. This is where they can't let up too much ground in the Western Conference because everybody's pretty much close, you know, games back-wise in the Western Conference.
But the thing is that in the West, you got four teams that are a half step above the rest. You got, it's four teams. You got Golden State, you got Oklahoma City, you got Clippers, you got Spurs. There's no particular order there. Four of them are two steps ahead of everybody. That's the Spurs and the Warriors. The Thunder, there's not a lot of teams in the West that you would say, oh, yeah, they can beat the Thunder in four games in the playoffs. You would say probably Golden State, but I wouldn't even give Golden State a four-game sweep. I wouldn't give San Antonio a four-game sweep. It could happen, but I wouldn't. You know, you would if they play right now, who's going to say they're going to sweep in four games? Nobody. Clippers, that's definitely not a four-game sweep. There's nobody else who you could even say you could say you think they would beat the Thunder in the playoffs. So I don't think they have to worry. The problem is, the Thunder are not of the elite teams. They are not the elite of the elite is the problem. So their warts are exposed when they play one of the elite teams. The Cavaliers are in the same breath as the Warriors and the Spurs. The Thunder don't match up to that yet. That's where it looks so bad for them. But now they're going to go play some other teams that are on their level, which are still really good teams. You know, they're not on the Warriors, Spurs, Cavs level, and the Thunder is going to smoke check these guys. Everybody says, oh, the world's back to normal. No. When you're judging these teams, you have to judge them against those three teams. How do they stack up against the Warriors, the Spurs, and the Cavs? Because in order for them to win a championship, they're going to have to beat one or all three of those teams. Let's be honest. They're going to have to beat one or all three of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to beat at least two of them. Probably all three, depending on how the playoffs shake out.
Now, here's the interesting thing that I looked at, too, and this is the same thing that I had for Scott Brooks the last couple of seasons while Scott Brooks was there. And I may be jumping the gun and saying this, but it's like they more or less try to figure out or work with what they have within the roster instead of trying to compete or win these games because, to me, I don't want to see them give up these games and then be in a fourth seed or a fifth seed situation where they're like, oh, well, they should have played harder for positioning, where these games actually matter. It's not to look toward the latter part of March or the early part of April to see where you're going to be situated because Golden State is out and running. San Antonio is out and running. You are a third seed team. You got to look like it in a Western Conference. Mm-hmm. Now, why, to me, and this is why I'm jumping the gun and saying this, why Steven Adams is getting more time on the floor than Enes Kanter, and Enes Kanter is giving you more points and rebound production. Steven Adams is doing nothing but basically picking up fouls or being a strong body, not even contesting shots. That bothers me. For why now all of a sudden you're trying to get Anthony Morrow involved in the game when this guy can shoot the ball before you got Kyle Singler involved and bringing Randy Foy here. And now in a game where you're going up against LeBron James and company. You finally put Randy Foy in the game to try and take shots, and he doesn't know the offense. He doesn't
because
even know the
coach,
offense.
The coach isn't running the team, Ty. I've been waiting for you to realize that, and you just don't want to – apparently you just won't want to acknowledge it. The coaches are setting the lines. The coaches are dictating who's getting playing time. The analytic people are. That is why you have those combinations you have out there. That team is being run by guys who never played a game of basketball. They're just looking at numbers and spreadsheets and Excel charts and everything else, and they're saying, this is the combination that gets us that. They're not doing any eye test at all.
Right.
And that's why you see – go ahead.
No, I said that sucks. No, I didn't mean to cut you off like that. I was just saying that's terrible.
Well, but that's what it is, man. That's what it is. That's what it is. That is what these leagues are turning into, where you got number crunchers dictating to coaches who don't have the clout to say, screw you, I'm not doing that. And they're saying, well, this guy needs to be playing more. Yeah, but he can't play defense. Yeah, but when he's on the court, our player efficiency goes up.
Right.
That's
right.
Great. Our player efficiency goes up, but we can't play defense.
Right. And the guy that you're talking about that they look at like that is Enes Kanter, because they talk about his defensive capability, but his plus-minus is better than Stephen Davis's. I'm not going to say Stephen Davis. Stephen Adams. Stephen Davis. I'm thinking about a running back. Stephen Adams. Stephen Adams is only giving them anywhere from 4 to 6 points a night. He's not getting them 8 to 10. And to be obvious, there was one point where LeBron was ready for that alley-oop that him and Russell do, where they set the screen at the top of the key near the free throw line, and that's the only opportunity that he's given to try and score the ball, unless it's the shot clock running down, he has the ball, he has to, throw up a hook shot or a jumper. But LeBron was basically waiting to try and block the shot. Even though LeBron got dunked off, people don't want to admit that. Stephen Adams ended up dunking on LeBron. Again, this is the second time he caught him. But still, yeah, they know when he's out there, his capability offensively is so limited. He is, and it bothers me to say this, they had him working with Kendrick Perkins, and he is Kendrick Perkins all over again. He is Kendrick Perkins.
Yes, but he's efficient. But he's efficient. If I'm taking less shots, right, and I'm making less, if I take 15 shots and I make 5, I'm inefficient. But if I take 7 shots and I make 4, who's more efficient?
That's true. That's true. No,
now,
that's true.
Does that mean I'm going to win the game? No, you're going to lose the game. But your efficiency is better. You understand what I'm saying? So, again, you have people looking at numbers and not paying attention to what's actually happening on the court. Stephen Adams is a more efficient player than Enes Kanter. It doesn't mean you're going to win more games with Stephen Adams.
Right. Right. But Enes Kanter is in the cahoots of being in the Sixth Man of the Year award situation. Like, him coming off of that bench and contributing to the team is helping. Like helping them win these games. To each their own. I'm not buying Stephen Adams in the game in the critical part of the game. Having him in the fourth quarter when these minutes matter and they'll try and squeeze him the ball and he's not ready to catch the ball or he doesn't know what to do with the ball or he's picking up fouls and looking at the referee and egging the ref to call another call against him on the next time they come down the floor defensively. So I question that. I really question the way that they're going with that. And I tip my hat. I don't even want to talk about too much of the coaching. I tip my hat to Cleveland for actually being ready through their film study, knowing what the Thunder were going to do. And Tyronn Lue, I know, all of the coaches that actually coached LeBron actually kind of, pulled the reins on him. They actually had LeBron and Kevin Love concentrating on Kevin Durant and took, the legs from the Thunder right there. Made Durant kind of look like he gave up. Durant looked like he gave up in that game. Literally. He went to the bench and looked defeated. I have not seen Durant look like that ever. Like, I really want to say since his rookie year when he was in Seattle, I have not seen him look like that. Have not. Okay. Anything else toward that before I get to the next topic?
Nah.
Okay. Now, this topic right here, because I tried to say that for Sirius, but Sirius just walked right out of the kitchen on that note. Just throw a quick jab, but, I'm good on defense. I'm good on defense. Now, this one, I feel a certain way right here, Chandler, and I hope you're ready. Running back. Whoa. I'm saying this the wrong way. Former running back of the Dallas Cowboys, Joseph Brent. Yeah, I know. I know. Stop laughing. No, I'm trying to get this out. Stop. Don't do this to me, please. Okay. So Joseph Randall can't get out of his own way. Now, this has to be a serious matter. I don't know how you can be a running back for the Dallas Cowboys and actually rob a department store for good. Like you need them. Like you can't just reach in your pocket and pull out money or pull out a black card or a debit card or a credit card, whatever you have, and take care of business. Now you get cut from the team. Do you know, chill, I didn't even know this is how severe the situation is. 17 months. He has been arrested 5 times. You are on one of the organizations that sit on top of sports, not just the NFL, on top of sports, and you're messing yourself up. One, Chandler, and we do have a caller in Q2. I do want to get the caller in here also. Do you think he could get out of his own way? I'm going to get this to the caller first, Chandler, then I'll get to you. Do you think he could get out of his own way? Do you think he'll be back in the league? I mean, severely enough, we've already seen a lot of – we've actually talked about this yesterday during the brunch, with the Ray Rice situation, Johnny Manziel, people kind of destroying themselves. But still, they have the potential to get back in the league. I mean, Joseph Randle was a decent running back with Dallas. I'm not going to say he's great. I'll just say decent. And they cut their losses, especially when he had everything, just cluttered around the organization on him, and he's not a star running back. But I will get the caller in here. We have breaking news, Brian Hughes in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling great, Ty. How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing all right. Your thoughts at hand during a wrap-up with Joseph Randle.
Well, I will tell you, Ty, just from my take, I think it should be out of the league, and I wouldn't give him another thought. I mean, I don't think Joseph Randle is a talented enough runner to where he warrants a fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh chance, not to mention the fact of the severity of the crimes we're talking about. We're not talking about smoking weed, which, oh, by the way, carries either a 4-1 year or lifetime ban. You know, we're talking about robbery. I mean, we're talking about felonies. To me, I know this is news and I know this is a story, but to me, he would have been cut the first or second incident because I just never thought he was that good. I think he's more of a beneficiary of that offensive line than anything else. I think you could draft a running back in rounds 2, 3, or 4 that will give you exactly the same production as he's giving you last year or the year before.
Now, here's the situation that he just got into. He just hit 3 people with a car. 3 people. Like. Now, I'm not going to say, I don't wish nobody be unemployed, so on and so forth, but, I don't know what team will end up trying to take a reach on him, and knowing that you are in the organization where they all look at Jerry Jones like Jerry Jones takes a shot on anybody. If Jerry don't want you, I wonder where you are going to go with your career, especially with all of these legal issues swirling around you like this. So, Taylor, I heard you laughing previously on the situation, but Joseph Randle, the situation that he has, addressing him, do you see him back in the league? And your thoughts on the latest news on this former running back?
Well, it's sad, and I could care less how much talent he has. I would hope that he gets his life together. I'm curious as to why Herm Edwards isn't on ESPN offering to help Joseph Randle, where he's
right,
doing his public outreach for Johnny Manziel. This is why I have a problem where everybody running around talking about Johnny Manziel needs help. Joseph Randle needs some damn help. Where's all the public outreach for him? Where's all the players and the GMs and the teammates that say that want to be go on record and say, hey, man, if you need some help, we're here for you. Where are all those people? Or is that only reserved for certain few that haven't proven a damn thing? Joseph Randle's proved more in this league than Johnny Manziel has, I'll tell you that. No, I don't think he's going to play again. I think that's what part of the problem is for him. He's spiraling because I think he's realized that, that it's over, and I don't think he had a backup plan. For a lot of these guys, this is plan A through Z. They don't have a backup plan. They don't know how to deal with life on life's terms. You know, they see how other guys get treated, and they think they're just as talented. Whether they are or not doesn't matter, because in order to become a professional athlete and make it to a professional league, you have to believe that you're the best of the best and that no one's better than you. You have to believe that. You can't have one iota of doubt. So when you see a guy that you think you're just as talented as and he gets 17 chances, why wouldn't you think you'd get 17 chances? Why wouldn't you think that? You see guy after guy that they keep, you know, you see the Greg Hardys of the world and the Ray McDonalds get chance after chance. Wouldn't you think you're going to get one too? I'm just as good as him. I'm a cowboy. Now, I sincerely hope Joseph Randle wraps his mind around the fact that he's got to live for the next 60 years. He's got to live for the next 60 years and does something about it. I truly do. You know, between him, you know, you got Delonte West. You got a lot of these guys that, that people want to make fun and crack all these jokes. It's funny how that works. But yet then you want to run around and say, this guy over here, oh, he just has a problem. He needs help. If we're going to help one, let's help all of them. If we ain't going to help all of them, then we can't help none of them. But no, Joseph Randle will never play another down in the National Football League. Maybe he'll get, maybe somebody in the CFL will sign him, but I doubt that'll happen to him.
Okay. Brian, is there anything else that you'd like to add toward this before we get away from it?
No, I think, like I said before, and like Chandler said, I think the bottom line is, unfortunately, in the NFL, the amount of chances you get are directly correlated with how much teams perceive your value to be. And unfortunately for Randle, I think his career has run its course.
I truly feel sorry for him. but, I mean, how many different instances are you going to get, you know, pat on the wrist, if you will? And looking more into this situation, he is being held on a $100,000 bond, so I'm wondering how he ends up dealing with this. I know the football people will watch it closely, but as for me, I'm just shaking my head. You were basically at the top of sports, being on the Cowboys, and basically just spiraled out of control. Like you have to control your own problem. Any topic that you may have heard, Brian, because I seen that you were here for a minute, or that you would like to discuss before we start to take care of business here in the kitchen also?
Well, like you said, Ty, I mean, I heard the conversation about, you know, about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think Chandler has a really good perspective on the Thunder. The only thing I would add to that is, to me, I just think what the Oklahoma City Thunder lack, when you look at the Warriors and some of these other teams that were mentioned, like the Spurs and Cavs, is the consistency. I think in a best of one, not a best of seven, I think in a best of one, I think they could beat any of those teams on any given night. The problem is the consistency day in and day out. You know, you look at the Warriors, they're pretty much the same team day in and day out, regardless of who they play. They're going to play their brand of basketball. You look at the same team day in and day out, you're going to pretty much get the same Spurs team regardless of what day you play. And then, you know, you look at the Thunder. To me, the Thunder are a team that they can beat anybody in the league, and then, you know, they can lose by 30 to the Cavaliers. I mean, that's just who they are. And, you know, I don't know if it's a chemistry thing like you guys were talking about. I don't know what it is, but I don't think there's anybody here or anywhere else that would doubt whether or not they have the talent. I think it's a matter of figuring out what they need to do in order to utilize that talent.
Okay. Anything else that you guys might like to hit on? Because we are basically at the end of the doorstep here. I mean, it was a small talk situation that I wanted to bring up, but I think I can save that for another day. The reason why I wanted to talk about it was the Pistons situation with Monta Ellis, but I'll save it because I want to see more detail into it. But he actually failed the physical, being Monta Ellis, so that trade has not gone down. But I can save that for tomorrow for the cookout. But any other topic that you guys would like to touch on before we get out of here?
Well, I mean, I was going to talk about that. You know what, I'm going to say this, man, and you know, people like to take shots at certain teams or whatever, and I get all of that, but for a network to have one of its people make fun of people's issues and struggles with life, I think is abhorrent. I think he's a coward, and I really, really hope that he runs into one of these tests where there are no cameras around. This is not funny when guys are destroying their lives, because sports only lasts a short amount of time. So for all you that want to keep making fun of people and talking crap about them, think about that for a minute the next time you have a problem. Okay, but when you run into something and you have some issues in your life, and imagine that the people you work with all find out, and they get to sit around and talk and laugh about you and instead of trying to help you. But other than that, man, I ain't really got a whole lot. Todd, baseball season is coming. We got some trades coming in the NHL. Trade deadline is coming. But, you know, you got it, sir.
No doubt. Okay, well, we'll close up right here. Save a lot of this for tomorrow for the cookout. Like I said, I did want to dig into that Pistons situation with Monta Ellis, because I thought Monta Ellis would be a big piece. That is not going down for the Pistons any longer. But I'll save it for the cookout and we line people up tomorrow in the kitchen. Brian, I need a plug, close out, shout out. Anything that you like to promote as we shut down here in the kitchen.
Well, boys, it's always a pleasure to speak with you guys, talk with you guys in the kitchen here. As everybody knows, SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the player interviews, the blogs, the write-ups. You know, we talked quite a bit about, you know, basketball. Looking forward to the NFL Scouting Combine next week. We're gonna start to hear a lot more about, hopefully, about player movement as the league calendar year gets a little bit closer. I'm also really excited about baseball. Baseball's right around the corner, guys, so have plenty to talk about.
Sure, we are working on trying to get that baseball show down here in Sports City, so y'all stay tuned to that too. I definitely got a couple people that said they want to have hands-on situation in that. Stay tuned. Mr. Knight, I need a plug, close-out, shout-out as we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
A lot of fun tonight. Y'all get a chance, check out seeing the women's basketball. My friend's daughter played there. She's a sophomore. She was New York City. She was a Daily News. Daily News All America in New York tie. That's right, Daily News All America, right, for basketball. Not in high school.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she was a Daily News All America playing for Siena right now. As you know, the NCAA tournaments is coming soon. About to be March Madness. So, you know, we repping Joella Gibson in the Siena Saints up in this piece.
What's up? Upstate New York, holler. That's what we do in the kitchen. SportsCityChefs.com, like Brian already told y'all, man. The interviews, the blogs, the chefs coming here tomorrow. The cookout should be loaded. I'll have a ton of stuff to get to. I definitely had to dive in on the Anthony Davis stuff and the Joseph Randle. I really can't believe that Joseph Randle can't stay out of his own way. 17 months, he's been arrested 5 times, and you were a running back on the Cowboys. This is worse, and I hate to call it like that. This is worse than Nate Newton. This is worse than Nate Newton. I mean, Nate Newton was a big deal because he got caught one time with something heavy, heavy, heavy. But come on. I mean, you're repeatedly doing something crazy. I hope you get it together. I hope somebody comes to mentor this guy. Just like, you know, Chandler Pegg's on, you know, guys like Herman Edwards. Why don't you guys come to his aid? They won't. On that note, Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We'll have our chorus. We'll have our chorus.
Cutting South Politico, the stack Fritos went from grams to kilos. Mac in one hand and the other hand, grand casinos. Game got my eyes wider than the 430 buggy. No telling what the fuck I do for this money. Stay posted up close with killers and cutthroats. The thoroughest bitches doing this pussy stuff coat. As I cook and cut coat with the bacon soda, almond hammer, palm and hammer. Take you crazy nigga, my clips bananas. Taking over with the mafia. Hitting niggas for they bricks like Gracia. The cockiest, it's obvious. It's me, he, who. Confirm fighting niggas like you wanted. Well, nigga, me too. What the fuck? I'm calling the bluff. Niggas act like they stopped making guns after they made yours. I'm sponsored by the NRA, DOA, you. Wish you stand over your coffin like, hey, you. Tell the devil I'm coming. Keep it hot. For now, I got my eyes on the billboard spot. Don't stop. Die for it. Take the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission. Die for it, get on the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission. Mr. Mimayan Selbrick for my nigga PB. Down with the team called BBE. Now if you want to join the team, you know you must see me. But you can't talk to Fed Dudrick R.I.D. It's a cold world, baby boy. Fuck it, I'm cold, the animals on my back. Keep me warm, my armor, Frank Lucas persona. Boiling coke up in the sauna, Dutch soap warn ya. Trip against my team, use a goner. In fact, it's drastic. A couple mil under the mattress. With a sick dick, I say fuck tactics. Rather indulge in duct tape, pig tie tactics. Crime pays, nigga, 999 ways. My destiny's vague, will I survive a blow trial? Lay shot up, puff crying in denial while my enemies smile. Buried in style, Gucci suits and cufflinks. Sneaking drugs through heaven's customs. Die for it, take the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission. Die for it, get on the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission. Pop, 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 one is shot, who's to blame? Shine, motherfucker, don't forget the name. Stretch the cane, took out the house and the plane. Till my massacre flame, brain came from the window of my range. Fuck the feds, two green and one red. Firm tight, hold the dice in this game of life. Ace, ace to fight, head crack a muck. Fallen angels and angel dust. My team do dirt to avoid laying in the dust. Bumpy Johnson portraits in my fortress, of course it's Poe. Bloodstain and aeroplane, 400 horse to flow. Platinum cable round table, so let the bosses know I'm taking over cause they cold got too much bacon soda. They say money ain't everything. You fucking right, nigga, it's the only thing. And God, we trust the holy thing. I look into my enemy's eye. Let them know you play fly, you go out Kennedy style. Bitch, die for it. Take the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission. Die for it, get on the stand, lie for it. No trial, get up in the chair, fry for it. Never telling the snitching, rather swim with the fishing. Motherfucker, respect it, the commission.